gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Just taking a long drink of Starbucks coffee. Thank you, Starbucks, for asking people to please not bring their guns into Starbucks. That seems somewhat common sense and wise to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the gun nuts are freaking out already, aren't they?
Well, they had that thing on Second Amendment Day where everybody brought their guns to Starbucks.
Right, and the CEO said, yeah, you know what? We don't want these events at our thing. Leave your gun at home.
They even did that in Newtown. Which is tacky, at
the
very least.
Yeah, you think? Because of stories like this, by the way. Woman in Starbucks drops her purse with forgotten gun inside, shoots her friend in the leg.
Oh.
That's going to piss a friend off. A Florida woman Florida, of course it's in Florida.
Sure.
Accidentally shot her friend in the leg while waiting in line at Starbucks. She moved to set her bag down in order to pay for her drink, as you do at Starbucks.
Yeah.
It was a fully loaded 25 caliber semi-automatic handgun that was in the bottom, which fired, striking her friend above the knee. That is not a good way to start your day. I don't even know if they're still friends. That's going to come up a bit.
Yeah.
Really? But what about the time you shot me in the knee, you moron?
Dare I say that's not the best part of waking up.
Right. No. She probably did not need a latte then.
No.
Yep. Okay.
I'm awake.
Got it now. Thanks. All right, so lots to get to this morning. We have Bob Zeska of the Daily Banter, and right out of the box, look who's here.
Carl.
Yeah. Carl Frisch. Exciting. Bullfightstrategies.com. So inviting to me. You are so exciting, Carl. You really are.
Have you seen some of those lines at Starbucks? I bet it went something like, yes, I'll have the half decaf, two-pump, hazelnut, sugar-free latte, and a paramedic, please.
And also, by the way, I need a clamp and some suture.
Right. Well, yes. They do have the Starbucks-branded first aid kit, which is
yes,
nice.
Yes, that's nice. That's lovely. Carl Frisch, you know, it's almost gets too exhausting. You're a longtime political strategist. When you talk about another one of these massacres, just knowing instinctively, this won't make any difference. If Sandy Hook didn't.
Pretty sure now is not the time to talk about gun control.
Right.
I mean, just the refrain. I mean, it's become comical. And, it'd be hilarious if it wasn't so sad. My business partner lives in the Navy Yard neighborhood. And the first thing you think when these kind of things happens is, I hope everybody's okay. And the fact that, if you look at the number of mass shootings in this country, I guess it's classified as any, number more than four people killed in a single shooting.
Right.
We've had basically, I think, almost one every day this year.
Oh. Yeah.
That's sad. And the solution here is not to keep putting our heads on the sand. The solution here is to do something about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was saying that, can we just retire the phrase liberal media forever? Yesterday I was talking about that a reporter from CNN actually asked the president, do you get concerned that, basically blaming him for the shooting, do you get concerned that this is, going to be your, I don't know what the question was, legacy or something? I mean, seriously, who has spoken more and tried harder to get, instead I had to say again yesterday, that it is up to Congress to pass some common sense gun legislation that 90% of Americans want. I mean,
it's fascinating how much certain people in the media want the president to be a dictator, and at the same time say that he's already a dictator.
Right. Right.
This is the president who is out of control. He's usurping power, my friends. Make it dittos. This president should, if he wants to do something, he should just do it.
God, and then the only thing that the right wing seizes on, it wasn't an AR-15. See, it's like, that probably matters a lot to the families of the, the 12 dead people, right?
Yeah, exactly. Find out that it was a different kind of gun.
And this is a perfect example of the need for background checks. It doesn't even matter which kind of friggin' gun. I mean, in this particular case, right?
Well, not just we need to do something more with our background checks too, and. The type of gun is inconsequential. I think that in the conservative world, when liberals are embarrassed They find that funny. That's kind of like their sense of humor. And they would find the fact that the liberal, quote-unquote, the quote-unquote liberal media got the type of gun wrong absolutely hysterical, regardless of the situation.
Yes, ha-ha, it's very funny. By the way, oh, here's a headline. We, I don't know if you saw it or not. High gun ownership makes countries less safe, U.S. study finds.
Well, you can't trust that. It was a U.S. study, and studies usually mean science.
Right, American Journal of Medicine.
Science is a liberal bias.
Right, right. Guns do not make a nation safer, say U.S. doctors, who have compared the rate of firearms-related deaths in countries where many people own guns with the death rate in countries where gun ownership is rare. You would think this would just be common sense, but yeah. It's in the American Journal of Medicine, blah, 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 blah. They say on the U.S. with the most guns per head in the world has the highest rate of deaths, oddly, weirdly. From firearms, while Japan, which I mentioned, has the lowest rate of gun ownership, has the least deaths by gun.
Well, and
which
here's
is so
how,
shocking.
Here's how crazy we've taken this at a certain point. So Congress and President Bush made gun manufacturers immune from any kind of lawsuits. So even if, let's say, that Colt or Remington produced a gun that they knew was faulty and it would backfire and shoot the user every time they used it,
right.
They could not be sued for that faulty manufacturing job. And at the same time, the NRA and its allies in Congress have made it illegal for the federal government to collect any kind of numbers or records about gun ownership, gun deaths, death by gun rates, suicide by gun rates, anything like that, types of guns used in crimes, et cetera, because they don't want anybody ever making the empirical case for gun control. That's how sick and sad this debate is.
Speaking of sick and sad, this is really just a sort of a sad spectacle to watch. As someone that's been watching politics for so long like you, that John Boehner has now caved to his crazy Tea Party base. I can't even... is he tying... So what, the debt ceiling? I mean, he's going to shut the government down over the defunding the Affordable Care Act, which can't be done anyway, right?
Right. No, he's going to shut... He's going to shut the government down to prove, this is, I guess, the thinking, to prove to his crazy Tea Party base that shutting the government down is a bad idea.
Right.
I mean, this is basically the speaker has no clothes, and I would just really like it if he'd put on a robe, because I don't need to see that.
See that Cheeto.
No.
But, I mean, that's essentially the strategy here is he cannot get the Tea Party base to understand not just how bad for the country shutting down the government would be, but how bad it would be for their own party. So he's going to shut the government down to show them how bad it is for the party.
Well, I mean, you know, the piece that made me the maddest today, I don't know if you saw in the Daily Beast, the Obamacare swindle. Healthcare reform isn't going anywhere, but that hasn't stopped Republicans from using it to raise money from gullible Tea Partiers who want it defunded. I mean, this is what's really stunning and sort of sad about this, is these idiots are giving money to something they do not realize is not going to happen. How many times can you say, this is not going to happen, it will not pass the Senate, and the president would never sign it, you can do whatever you... And even Lindsey Graham said yesterday, even do it passing this would not defund Obamacare. It's not funded that way.
Right. It's basically an entitlement, and they're not impacted by the government shutting down. Bang. checkmate. The other thing to consider is it now makes perfect sense why all these months that it's been the law of the land, we kept on seeing right-wing groups and politicians calling it a bill. If they could convince their base that this thing had not yet been signed into the law by the President of the United States, you know, like our legislative process works,
right,
then perhaps they could get these poor saps to part with more of their money.
Yeah. I love Lindsey Graham said, I wanted to fund Obamacare. I just don't want to cut off Social Security checks and stop paying the military. Which were all pretty much, you know,
yeah.
Shut the entire government. And this is my favorite part of this story. Glenn Beck's website has noted the anti-Obamacare strategy rests on a faulty premise. When Glenn Beck is the guy going, you know what, now you guys are crazy. I mean, really, this is what's happened to the Republican Party. His website is the only place warning, you know, this is a moron plan.
Yeah, for it to seep down to Glenn Beck's level, I mean, it's really something. At a certain point, it's... It becomes how many more times do they have to do this to keep people happy within their own base and within their right wing? I mean, you've got Heritage that's been doing that, you know, multi-city tour with you know, my favorite Canadian senator, Ted Cruz.
This is from Canada, right?
Yeah, he's from Canada. You know, I wish Granholm was in the Senate, but we've only got Ted Cruz. And they're doing this tour. It's all designed to build their lists to raise money off of and turn those people into activists in the next campaign.
Yeah, no, I mean, it really is sad and sick, you know, that the Heritage, as you mentioned, among others, all these groups and people are doing it. It's ginning up the base, and they're sending the money. It's really like the, you know, the Herp Derp caucus is getting their Herp Derp.
Well,
okay, here's
got,
the money for something shame. They know they can't make happen. I mean,
yeah.
it's the biggest scam.
It's been less than a year since the election when the base was lied into thinking that Mitt Romney had a chance in heck.
Yeah.
Of winning. And they all bought that, and they were all disgruntled afterwards, and they were not going to turn into Fox News or right-wing radio anymore. But now they've got a new snake oil to sell. It's called, we're going to defund Obamacare.
Yep. Oh, by the way, in a sliver of good news, you tweeted that Texas State Senator Wendy Davis is going to make a formal announcement about gubernatorial plans. You think she's going to go?
I think she is, but I don't think we should get our hopes up. All Texas right. is very, you know, still a very difficult state.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if anybody could pull it off, she could.
That was very diplomatic of you. It's a very difficult state.
Like it's a toddler.
Well, I mean, if I had to pick out what kind of state it is, it's the state of delusion.
Most of the state, sure. Especially a city like White Settlement.
Yeah, that's what we learned yesterday in the Aaron Alexis thing. There's a city called White Settlement.
To differentiate itself from the Native American settlement right next door.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So that happened.
Cowboy up.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Carl Frisch. Great talk to you as always, honey. See you next week.
Have a good one.
All right, there he goes. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun. It's healthy. It's good exercise. The kids just love it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Kevin in D.C. Hey, Kev.
Well, good morning, lovely Stephanie.
Good morning, sir.
Boy, such a pleasure. Just the right thing to send me off to work. I will be thinking of you during the long hours.
Oh, yeah. All right, go ahead.
I should remind you, it's Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Oh, it's Talk Like a Pirate Day, Kev.
Get
out of your system.
You definitely are the woman that makes me always say, arr,
arr,
when I'm doing something I can't mention on the air.
Oh, right.
Oh, God.
Oh, arr.
It's not wank like a pirate thing.
Jim. All right, Kev, go ahead.
It's your fault, Steph. Stop being so hot. But anyway.
I'll
tell you. What's the, T-Bone just told me, and I blanked on his name. What's the NRA head guy? What's his
Wayne
name?
LaPierre.
Wayne LaPierre famously said, you know, that all it takes to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with
a
gun.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of good dead guys now.
But the thing is, we had a whole yard of good guys, and that still didn't stop people from being killed. So maybe it's time to
But specifically, armed security guards. And that, you know, Kev, I mean, I was thinking that yesterday. That's actually a really good point is, you know, look, it's hard because people are, you can't be expecting this 24/7, even an armed security guard, you know, I mean, how do you, that's why to me the more important part of this is guns and background checks and all of that.
Yes. And you several weeks ago, you gave all these wonderful statistics with other countries who have common sense gun laws and how their murder rates by guns are far, far, far lower than ours.
Yep.
Why are we letting the field brick brains affect all of us? There's more of us than them. If it takes every day fighting this crap, we've got to do it because this is insane. We have normalized this. I had a coworker. I came into work, mentioned this, and she said, well, you know, people get killed by knives, too. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? And I got to apologize because I kind of went off on her. But anyway, that scared me that so many people apparently have normalized this. This is not normal. This is not sane. It is crazy to shoot ourselves up like this and allowing it to go on.
Well, that's why that doctor, I think, you know, affected so many people, Kev, because she wasn't really partisan. She just, it was common sense. It was just like, we got to stop this.
Yeah.
This is, you know, there's something evil, something in our society that's, you know, and I think you're right. Once again, there's a whole lot of factors, but I mean, she just said that you know, she said, I don't want to know as much as I know about gunshot wounds. you know,
well, there's no more excuses.
Right. Yeah. My surgeon should be spending time on something else, some other kind of surgery, is what she said.
And might I point out that you can't kill 12 people across an atrium with a knife.
By the way, even this gun, this shotgun.
Dragons kill people, too.
Yes.
Yes. You ban dragons.
Right. Now, sometimes Jim, with the absurdity of things he says, has the exact same logic as a right winger.
Yeah,
that's
you're right.
That's the point of it. No weirder than things that people have said that have called here. What was I saying? Now I've forgotten. See what happens when you're this old?
Exploding birdseed kills people.
Right? Exploding birdseed does movable holes in a mountain.
Rocket skates can kill people.
Big boulders.
There you go.
Big round
boulders.
Where
was I going? Help Mama. Help Mama back. What was I saying?
Oh, God. I don't remember.
Dragons.
No. He said that and threw me off.
That was funny.
Stop it. Okay, thank you.
Are you okay?
Oh, I know what it was. Our friend
Bob Seska.
Animated birds.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember where I left that thing in the kitchen. Okay. Okay. Bob Seska, I think, writes about this, but even this kind of
We're having on today.
Yes, right. This kind of shotgun that he had, they were talking about that it can shoot through, like, three walls at a time. I mean, it's...
Wow.
In like, six layers of drywall or something like that. I mean, it's... Anyway, okay. Mona in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Mona.
Good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Good morning. Thank you.
I just wanted to say that I am from Texas, and I know that you commented that it was a difficult state, but I don't think you really meant it towards everybody.
No.
But I just wanted to
We didn't
you know
mean that. Austin, but the rest of you?
Well, yeah, exactly. Austin is an entity in and of itself. The rest of us in Texas are not quite like Austin.
Right.
I am from Houston, and Houston is the most multicultural city, from what I understand, in the United States.
Oh, wow.
We have, I cannot tell you how many languages that I hear, I see written. It's a wonderful place to live, and we don't have state income tax. And we do probably have the most high populace of guns in the United States.
Right.
And from the people that I know, I would much rather have them have guns and stop a bad guy than they not. Because as much as the cultural...
Mona, here's a pop quiz. How many of these mass shootings in our history have ever been stopped by a civilian with a gun?
Well, obviously you don't listen to Houston news because quite a few... I mean, even in the last...
Zero. The number would be zero.
No, it wouldn't be zero.
Really?
I live it. I see it on the news every night.
You see civilians stop mass shootouts every day?
Every day?
Not every day, because we don't have mass shootings every day.
Okay.
Because everybody's armed.
Right.
Well, okay. Well, you tell me. You take the guns out of my hand and out of the legal abiding citizens, and you tell me how you're going to get the guns from the bad guys when we can't even secure
our
border.
There were two good guys with guns here. There were armed security guards that both were shot.
And this was a military base.
Right. These people were trained. These were good guys with guns who were shot.
Right. And their weapons were used to kill more people.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton took the ability.
No, he did not. No, he did not. That is a lie, ma'am.
She seemed all friendly like.
Bill Clinton took her guns away.
That is a lie.
Oh, gosh, we're making so much progress, aren't we, in this debate in this country? 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I once fantasized about that
Stephanie Miller
chick you see on that truck's mud flaps. Took me less than a mile.
Wit. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. Look out, I'm about to blind you with science. Everybody, oh. Everybody just stay calm.
Science!
1-800-STEPH-12. I just thought this was interesting. A friend sent me this yesterday, this article.
Uh-huh.
The most depressing brain finding ever, and I think that last caller is a good example.
Yeah.
Of how people, when they get their talking points, they just... You cannot, even blah, blah, when you blah, just blah, say blah, that blah, is completely untrue. However, this says it's on both sides, but let me just say that's probably my partisan brain working. I don't think as much. With liberals, I just don't. But let's give me some science stack music.
Okay.
A Yale Law School professor has done a new research paper. He conducted some ingenious experiments about the impact of political passion on people's ability to think clearly. And what perfect time to read about this in the middle of another gun debate. Partisanship, he writes, can even undermine our very basic reasoning skills. People who are otherwise very good at math may totally flunk a problem they would have otherwise probably been able to solve simply because giving the right answer goes against their political beliefs. He and his collaborators have been running experiments trying to answer this terrifying question about American voters. Do facts matter? The answer, basically, is no.
Right.
So, there.
My facts matter. Yours are nonsense.
When people are misinformed, giving them the facts to correct those errors only makes them cling to their beliefs more tenaciously.
Huh.
Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a dinosaur.
Correct. Correct. Here's some of what he found. People who thought WMDs were found in Iraq believed that information even more strongly when they were shown a news story correcting it. Yeah, I told you I had this conversation face-to-face with a friend of a friend in Salt Lake. I came in and Fox News was on and... Is the whole, like, well, you know, Saddam had kicked them inspectors out, and I'm like, but he did, what? Stop, turn off Fox News!
Yeah, got you.
Okay. People who thought George W., this is for our side. Although, I gotta say, we understand nuance a little bit.
A little bit better.
Just saying. People who thought George W. Bush banned all STEM research kept thinking he did that, even after they were shown an article saying that some federally funded stem cell work was stopped. Actually, see, I think we do get new ads.
Yeah.
I think many of us just believe very strongly that no stem cell research should be stopped.
Right.
Because it's so critically important for science and such. But whatever. I'm sure some people did say on our side that...
I only stopped the ones that didn't lack.
Right.
Which is most of them.
Right. Didn't he talk about the snowflake babies or something?
Yes,
he did.
I
don't know what is...
Yes, he did.
Who can remember with all his moron statements? See, there's my partisan bias. I'm sorry.
Well, he was a bit of a moron.
A little bit. Okay, people who said the economy was the most important issue to them and who disapproved of Obama's economic record were shown a graph of non-farm employment over the prior year, a rising line, adding about 1 million jobs. They were asked whether the number of people with jobs had gone up, down, or stayed about the same. Many, looking straight at the graph, said down.
Wow.
But the line was going up.
Yes, but they hate Obama.
Devil quoting scripture.
That's their answer to everything.
Devil quoting scripture. Yeah, okay,
right.
Yeah.
Right, right, exactly.
Yeah.
This is nice. But if they were shown the graph, if before they were shown the graph, they were asked to write a few sentences about an experience and they didn't feel good about themselves, a significant number of them changed their minds about the economy. If you spend a few minutes affirming your self-worth, you're more likely to say that the number of jobs increased. Oh, well, that's nice. That's hopeful. We are a nation of dopes.
Easily manipulated dopes.
Okay, yeah. Now I can see the graph.
Schmark. Boy, I took my happy pills. Now everything looks nice.
We are a nation eating a bowl after bowl of wackadoodle cereal. I don't know. It is too much exposure to Michelle Bachmann and Louis Gohmert and the Herp Derp Caucus, I believe. By the way, did you see this, Jim, that the poverty level is up, and so, you know, their response to that? They need to cut $40 billion in food stamps.
Sure, that'll fix it. What?
And speaking of the devil quoting scripture, have you seen Michelle Bachmann endlessly quoting that scripture? He who shall not work shall not eat. It's like, hey, listen, Herp Derp. Let me just tell you one thing. The majority of people on food stamps, they are disabled. They're kids. They're elderly. They can't work.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you wackadoodle.
Hey, kids, what's for breakfast?
My name is Michelle Bachman. I'm a member of the United States Congress from the United States of America.
And that's not all.
And joining me are two other members of Congress, Representative Steve King of Iowa and also Louie Gohmert of Texas.
It's sugar-frosted wackadoodles, the number one breakfast cereal for American kids in the United States of America, where America is.
Thank you, and it has been wonderful to be here in Egypt.
Wackadoodles, part of this unbalanced breakfast.
It appears that the Obama administration has been backing the Muslim Brotherhood in recent months.
Hey, the Muslim Brotherhood, they're always after me, wackadoodles.
And moms, remember, wackadoodles contains 100% of your child's minimum daily exposure to lead-based paint. Try new sugar-frosted wackadoodles. But they're crazy. On your grocer shelf next to Fruity Putins.
I do not like Fruities.
Right. Ooh, he's going to hate that in the name of that cereal.
Yeah.
Fruity Putins. What are you saying?
Some more not-so-fun facts from this. In the experiment, some people were asked to interpret a table of numbers about whether a skin cream reduced rashes, and some people were asked to interpret a different table containing the same numbers about whether a law banning private citizens from carrying concealed handguns reduced crime. He found that when the numbers on the table conflicted with people's positions on gun control, they couldn't do the math right, though they could when the subject was skin cream.
Huh.
The bleakest
guns don't
finding,
kill people, skin cream kills people.
The bleakest finding was that the more advanced that people's math skills were, the more likely it was that their political views, whether liberal or conservative, made them less able to solve the math problem.
Wow.
This is in HuffPo. I hate what this implies, not only about gun control, but about other contentious issues like climate change. I'm not completely ready to give up on the idea that disputes over facts can be resolved by evidence, but you have to admit things aren't looking so good for reason. I keep hoping that one more photo of an iceberg the size of Manhattan calving off Greenland, one more stretch of record-breaking heat and drought and fires, one more graph of how atmospheric carbon dioxide has risen in the past century will do the trick. But what these studies of how our minds work suggest is that the political judgments we've already made are impervious to facts that contradict us. Maybe climate change denial isn't the right term. It implies a psychological disorder. Denial is business as usual for our brains. More and better facts don't turn low-information voters into well-equipped citizens. It just makes them more committed to their misperceptions. In the entire history of the universe, no Fox News viewer ever changes their mind because some new data upended their thinking. When there's a conflict between partisan beliefs and plain evidence, it's the beliefs that win. The power of emotion over reason isn't a bug in our human operating system. It's a feature. Oh, that's just terrifying.
David quote in scripture.
Things always look the blackest just before they go totally black. Good morning, everybody.
Hooray.
Okay. Danny in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Danny. Hi, Danny.
Hello.
Hello.
I was just going to say, I was working yesterday, and I'm not going to say where, but there was a man who, I'm sure his IQ, if he made it to 75, that would have been good. And he was buying these two boxes of shells, and I thought, okay, this is the kind of person that when you try to talk to them about, yes, the Second Amendment allows for this, but it doesn't allow for you to have something that you can go shoot 100 people in less than, like, 5 seconds.
Yep.
And that's the problem. I'm not saying that everybody in Texas is retarded. I'm not saying that.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I live here, and we actually have a handgun. But the thing that kind of gets me is you have a mentality of people that are not that bright, and so they listen to one side of the issue, and you just can't tell them otherwise.
Well, that's what this study, I was just talking about these shows, and by the way, the Stephanie Miller Show would like to go on record as reiterating what our caller just said, that she was not implying all people in Texas are retarded. Okay. Newsbusters, just for your...
I didn't say that.
Okay. Brian in Charlotte, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Brian.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, the study is probably spot on because they don't teach critical thinking skills anymore. I told a girl that at my job that the Romney care had a 95% participation rating, and she didn't believe me. She went on the internet. She saw that it was actually 97%. and she didn't believe the internet website. So it was on multiple sites. Now,
did you see Chuck Todd just said, "Oh, it's not our job to explain Obamacare."
Oh no, I tweeted about that.
Right. Well, it's your job when a Republican comes on and says there's a death panel to say, "Well, that's just not true." I mean,
it's crazy. Yeah. And the common sense of this last woman, common sense would tell her if cops in New York are trying to shoot one individual and they shoot several individuals, what would people who are armed, multiple people who are armed, trying to shoot the same guy, how many people would get shot dead?
Right, right. Well, Brian, we did that statistic yesterday. 34% of the time trained police officers hit their target. So that means an awful lot of the time they hit something else. You know?
It's ridiculous, man. Hey, thanks for doing what you guys do, man. Thanks. I love you guys.
Thanks, Brian. Love you back. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, 'cause we don't have a media that helps at all. They think it's partisan. I mean, this is when we talk about this gun legislation, and this is a Toomey, who's a Republican, and Manchin came up with this amendment. The big lie they put out there, it's going to create a gun registry. It is specifically written in the bill that it bans...
Yeah.
Creating a gun rep. It's like, that's how they got them to vote against 90% of what the American people want. I mean, it's just insane.
Manchin's not much of a Democrat.
Well, I hear you talk. I'm picking up what you're putting down. Okay.
Next, you're going to tell me there are no death panels in Obamacare.
Ah!
Yeah, right. Some guy told me at the Piggly Wiggly that that's what they're doing.
Gar! Marjorie in Chicago. Hello, Marjorie.
Good morning.
Hello.
You know what I need to hear this morning?
What?
I need to hear that 911 call of that school clerk who disarmed the armed gunman in the at what could have been a tragedy, like the Navy Yard. And I think we should listen to it.
Marjorie, you know that this trauma doctor this last time, and that woman you're talking about, that's a perfect example of what we need more of outside of politics. Just people with true. Just sort of like, not just emotional intelligence, but empathy, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, this guy, it's a typical story. If you go, how did no one spot this guy or try to help this guy or raise a red flag about this guy, right?
Right, absolutely.
Yep. All right, honey. Good. Thanks for the session. We will find that, right?
We will try and find that, yes.
Some people will try awfully harder. Some people.
You're fired.
46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. Oh, as people say to me all the time.
It must be nice to always believe you know better.
Yep.
To always think you're the smartest person in the room.
Indeed.
No, it's awful.
It is an awful burden I bear. But once again, I just gave Travis my veggie burrito.
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't want you to get sick. How long has this been? See, Jim always is like that. He's like,
well,
okay.
You have a tendency to have a few glasses of wine at night and leave things out on the counter
all
night, and then bring them to work the next morning.
Partially
chewed on by giant dogs.
I'm right, and all the rest of you all are wrong. The headline this morning: 90% of Americans confused by use-by date on food. I get in this fight all the time with a friend of mine because she errs way on the side of throwing stuff out, and 90% of Americans are throwing all this food out. That's fine.
Well, that's different if it's been refrigerated. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do not leave things on the counter. I don't know what
after
you're
having
about.
A few glasses of wine.
A glass container of some kind. Usually 750 milliliters.
Usually a vase.
I have had
she dumps out the water in a vase and pours the water.
Amount of gastrointestinal. Oh, I have a delightful story just from last night.
Oh, no. Really?
This is a different story. People have their own rules for how many second rule when you drop something. Dog owners know. What is the rule for when something has been in or near your dog's mouth? Well, let me just say that I ordered a hamburger last night, and it was the most...
Dogs eat their own poop!
It was National Cheeseburg Day yesterday, and I got the most delicious cheeseburg ever, and then the doorbell
cheeseburg?
Rang. Ding dong! And Max and Fred and I all went to the door, as they do, like good guard dogs, protective mommy. And then I was talking to the person at the door for a moment, and I turned around and I was like, uh-oh. where's Max? And I came back, and literally, like, the sides of his mouth were like he had the entire hamburger in his mouth. Did I take it out?
Thanks,
yes,
Mommy.
I did. Yes, I did. Did I take it out?
And did you eat the rest of it?
I did.
Dogs, you know, Max eats his own poop.
Well, not recently. All right.
As far as you know.
Story is...
Not when he's got a hamburger.
90, exactly.
Can
did you
tell
give
the
him
difference?
A choice? But you know, when I'm really a magical sharing thing, I couldn't eat it all, so then I did give them the leftovers. So it kind of was like, you know, gift of the magi. It was a real... I took it out of his mouth, ate it, and I gave him back. Okay, that's disgusting.
That is.
90, I wonder why I'm single. 90% of... What a sad little life I have. 90% of Americans say they have prematurely discarded food because they misinterpreted the sell-by, use-by, and best-before dates on products, and the confusion is costing consumers billions, a new study finds. Well, the other thing is I'm cheap, so I also err on the side of...
That, yeah.
But, no, but part of this is, I knew this ahead of time, a lot of this is the food industry. They put dates on there...
To keep themselves from being sued.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, not just that, but when they, I'm just saying it's because it makes people buy more food and it makes them more money and it's wrong. According to this study, many Americans incorrectly assume the date stamped on the packaged food indicates it will go bad instead of what it really is, a suggestion by the manufacturer of peak freshness. Mm-hmm. And apparently they err way on the side of
what they put on, but
listen to these statistics. The current system of expiration dates is misleading. Researchers say expiration dates are in need of some serious myth busting because they're leading to waste money and throw out perfectly good food, along with all the resources that went into growing it. Said a staff scientist, such confusion leads 9 out of 10 Americans to needlessly throw away food. In a 2012 study, found as much as 40% of the country's food supply goes uneaten. The cost of that wasted food, roughly $165 billion.
Those people should never go to a cheese shop. There's mold on there!
Oh, this
I'm
is
not
old.
Eating that!
Well, there's good mold and there's bad mold.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's hard obviously. For the layperson to tell.
Well,
if you only know. Knew how many times to how many people in my life I've said, it's fine.
Yeah, but if you have, like, hummus with no preservatives in it and there's little white things growing in it, that's
well,
that, just throw it out.
Right.
Yeah, because the mold isn't just on the top. It has roots that go way down.
Moldy,
so you can't just scoop off the top of it. And,
moldy bread is different from moldy cheese.
Yeah.
It's got spores all the way through it.
Yeah.
Right.
And what I always do is I check to see what the expiration date is. If it's a little bit past the expiration, I smell it. Yeah. And if it smells fine, I eat it.
Or taste this. Does this taste bad?
Well, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. If it smells off, then no.
All right. And now, back to the gun trolls. Okay. George in Minnesota, you're on the... Hi, George. George in Minnesota.
Hi, how are you?
Good, George. Go ahead.
Well, Good, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I'm jogging. So I'm just stopping.
Okay.
It seems like a favorite liberal meme if the... Quote, one of conservatives and how stupid they are. And I would just like for you to present some evidence of the intelligence of Nancy Reed, Nancy Pelosi, Barack Obama, and Democratic congressman from Georgia in good standing, Hank Johnson.
Uh-huh.
I'm waiting.
Okay, well, you're going to be waiting a while. You'll have to be more specific. I talked about specific things that specific conservatives said. I didn't say all conservatives are dumb.
No, I know, but I'm asking for some evidence.
Why that specific
Nancy
guy
Pelosi's.
from Georgia?
Well,
all right, you know what? I don't want to get your heart rate down. I would continue jogging if I were you, because I don't feel like we're going to achieve anything intellectually or otherwise.
Nancy,
I'm going to say it was the lack of oxygen that caused that argument to be that weak.
Name a guy who did stuff sometime when before the.
Did you also notice it took him a little while to stop? And so, I think there was some inertia there that he may have been a larger man.
Oh, stop it. We have no evidence of that.
He may have just been rolling down a hill.
Bob in Chicago. Hi, Bob.
To quote Jethro Tull.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good
yes,
morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, I got a question. The Republicans are threatening to shut down the government. Do they still get paid?
Yes, yeah. Apparently they do. Yeah. They cleverly made sure.
Not that part of the government.
Right.
That's sacrosanct.
That's the good part. Right. The part that's getting all that stuff done. Stephanie in Houston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show real quick. Hey, Steph.
Hey. I'm in Houston, and so I was just calling to
give some information to my friend from Houston that called in earlier.
Uh-huh.
No one is trying to take guns from law-abiding gun owners. No one. No one is trying to do that. We are looking for common sense solutions to gun violence in this country. That's all.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. Well said. 58 minutes after the hour. Right back with Bob Seska and more next hour. Oh, well, yeah, hour after that. Okay, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, Mr. Making Fun of the Food I Bring In. Oh, what are you doing? Eat up, Jim.
It's very good.
Oh, enjoy. Thank you.
You don't know if she left it out on the counter last night, though.
Uh-oh. I did not leave it on the counter in a drunken stupor.
It's happened before,
delicious.
Though.
It is a vegetarian burrito. Enjoy.
You've admitted that you brought in sushi that
all
you left out on the calendar.
On the air. And then the counter. You're like bears. You're like working with bears. You're going to
have
some. Step one. You know what? I miss girls in the fort, for God's sakes. Plus, I've got a healthcare story. I need a... answer on it. Oh, for God's sake. See? You're just a...
I'm fired.
Useless bear-like button pusher. Good morning, Jackie Schechner.
Well, good morning.
Shiver me timbers, splice the main brace. It's talk like a pirate day.
It's talk like a pirate days. Day, Jackie.
I can't do that. You should give me some warning so I could practice. Can we make it talk like a person who just woke up and hasn't had coffee yet?
Sure. All right. Because you're not doing the news every day right at the moment, by the way, don't bring your gun into Starbucks this morning. They would like you to keep it at home.
Oh, good. Okay, good to know.
Good. All right. Now,
can I bring my gun into the kitchen when I make my own coffee?
Sure.
I am so jealous of how non-up on the news you are.
Oh, I hate her.
I know.
Oh, I just woke up. Okay.
It is kind of a nice relief, I have to say. If you've been following me on Twitter, you know that I am in a Breaking Bad Netflix vortex at the moment.
Right.
And I only come up for air to go to spin class.
Right. No, I know this. I was telling people I saw you about a week ago, and I said, she looks tan and rested and healthy and happy, and I hate her. All right. Bitter. Party of one. Now, Jackie Schechner, I need you on this because Walgreens told its 160,000 employees yesterday that their health care benefits are changing. The company is moving workers to private health insurance exchange, one that provides more health coverage choices and an opportunity for most employees to lower their out-of-pocket health care costs next year. According to the press release, Walgreens employees will be given a cash subsidy that allows them to purchase their coverage directly from carriers. And there's obviously other companies that are doing this. What does this mean?
Well, I've been trying to parse it a little bit because what Walgreens is doing is setting up some sort of private exchange with a private company. Am I echoing, or is that just me that's hearing the echo?
I think that's just
no,
you.
Everything you say is worth hearing twice. I would not worry about it. Go ahead.
I was going to make sure. I can fix that. They're setting up a private exchange, which sounds a lot to me like they're just trying to get rid of their HR department having to manage their benefits program, because the private exchange they're setting up has nothing to do with the public exchanges under the Affordable Care Act.
The public insurance marketplace that was created by the Affordable Care Act. But they said, here's their statement, we will continue to invest in the health of our employees and their dependents while using a marketplace solution that offers a wide variety of plan options that meet the affordability standard of the Affordable Care Act. So,
yeah, but not maybe the affordability, but certainly not the basic benefits. And it sounds a lot like if you go online now and you try to buy health insurance in the individual market, you use something like ehealthinsurance.com or one of those aggregated websites, it may give you lower premiums and high deductibles, and then there's all these hidden charges that come back to you because the premiums are lower. There's not a basic set of benefits. You're not guaranteed to get taken because if you have a pre-existing condition, they don't have to accept you. So there's a lot of formulas within the market now that it sounds like they're just replicating with some sort of private shopping experience.
Well, net-net, does this seem good or bad to you? in terms of, if you're a Walgreens employee this morning?
Well, this doesn't seem like a great option, to be honest with you, because what people need their HR departments for is to help them figure out what coverage they're buying. And if you're going out to shop on a private exchange where you don't have the benefit of the law to regulate what you can and can't get, you can end up paying, a low premium for a plan that covers nothing. I mean, it sounds to me very similar to what companies do now, or insurance companies do now, but just try to sell you on a bare bones plan and then get you on the tail end when you actually have a medical emergency. So the Walgreens model seems to me like they're using the Affordable Care Act as an excuse to hide what they're doing, which seems to me from what I've been able to read, which is push their responsibilities off onto some private company, and not really give employees any sort of better benefits than what they may already have.
The Daily Ticker said something like that. I was just reading, Jackie, it echoes what you say a lot. He said GOP lawmakers making a huge mistake by actively trying to strip federal funding for the Affordable Care Act. It's ludicrous that employers provide health care coverage. The government is in a better position to provide health care to citizens and has more leverage over insurance companies to keep health care costs down. Health care costs were exploding before Obamacare. It may now be in fashion to blame Obama for higher costs, but health care costs have been going up at a slower rate since Obamacare was implemented. I mean, that's what's going to be tough to tell, right? Is what people are doing things out of just sheer Obama hatred or for political reasons.
That's a lot of what's happening. I mean, we've seen a lot of letters go out. We've seen a lot of misinformation where companies are blaming. I mean, you talk about these companies that say that they're cutting workers to part-time because they don't want to have to pay to contribute to health care reform for their employees that go out on the exchange. Meanwhile, these are companies that have been trying to cut workers' hours down for years. Like, this is not in direct relation to the Affordable Care Act, but now they have cover. They're using it as an explanation for why they're doing something they would have done anyway.
Did you see the Kathleen Sebelius tweet? Let's end on a good note, because I know you have a very busy spinning and tanning schedule today. A new analysis found that 6 in 10 Americans eligible uninsured Americans, that's like 23 million people, will have access to low-cost insurance coverage options through their state exchanges or Medicaid because of the Affordable Care Act. These Americans could pay $100 or less per month for coverage next year. More than a dozen states, including New York, California, and Oregon, have said the residents would see steep drops in the price of health care coverage. So it seems like, this political battle is just going to continue, even though this is a law, has been a law now for how many years, right?
Oh, yeah, since it passed in March of 2010. And, one thing I will add real quick, I don't know if you saw the Chuck Todd clip from yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay.
We just talked about it,
Okay, yeah, where he talked about it's not a journalist's responsibility to debunk the Republican myth. I would say, that is kind of the responsibility.
Yeah, it is.
And, the big problem we have now is that the he said, she said on either side of the issue isn't accurate in this case, right? I mean, one side's giving
Well, and not to mention the other side is completely bizarre in that they're threatening now to shut down the government to defund Obamacare, which will not defund Obamacare. I mean, it's
right.
Yeah.
But Sebelius gives you facts, and the Republicans give you lies, and someone's got to say they are lies, and that happens to be the media's responsibility. So.
And that's why we have Jackie Shegner back in the fold.
Hooray!
If nothing, then to speak the truth, and then off to her busy pedicure. All right, Jackie, we love you.
Who has to get her gel nails redone? I'm just saying.
Okay. All right, princess. I love you.
I love you guys.
Thank you, honey.
Bye, Jackie.
Goes.
Bye.
All right. Very nice of her to wedge us in.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. Thank you. Let's go to Dan in Illinois. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Stephanie.
Yes, hello.
You know what? You were talking about that study. You guys cited a study there that talked about how unreasonable people can be. You know, what I think is that some people on the right have realized that there's profit to be made from their listeners' ignorance. I'm convinced that they don't even believe some of the nonsense they talk about, a la Rush Limbaugh. I was listening to you a couple weeks ago. You played a recording where this lady called in, and she thought that Obama was going to run for president again after his wife and Hillary had then ran for president.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
You listen to these people. I work with a guy. He's one of the best electricians we got on this base. I'm a Great Lakes Naval base.
Right.
And we were talking to him the other day, and we talked about the 47% that Mitt Romney said. He said he didn't say that. I go, man, what do I have to do? They got a recording. It's video.
I know. They're impervious. I remember that call. I picked that out myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the Rush. First of all, Megadeth. You know when it starts Megadeth, it's just wow. It's going to be a whole like sack of dumb from there. What I heard, my father-in-law says that Michelle Obama is going to be the next president. And then, so then Obama can get back in there after that.
Right.
I'm terrified, Rush. Hold me. Oh dear God.
Whatever.
Okay. Oh my God. Ermagerd. Okay. Wow. Oh. The president talking about the Navy Yard shooting yesterday.
I'm in touch with the FBI. I'm in touch with my national security team. We're making sure that all the assets are out there for us to deal with this as well as we can. On the other hand, what is also important to remember is that Congress has a lot of work to do right now.
He was trying to steer the conversation back to the death
scene. Right. So the latest on the Navy Yard shooter, he carved bizarre phrases on the stock of his shotgun. Did you hear about this?
Yeah.
Before he killed the 12 people at the Navy Yard on Monday. The phrases were "better off this way" and "my ELF weapon," E-L, capitalized E-L-F. ELF generally stands for extremely low frequency and can refer to weather or communication efforts, among other things. He was obviously battling mental health issues.
Right.
He told police in Rhode Island in August that he was hearing voices of three people who had been sent to follow him and kept him awake and were using some sort of microwave machine to send vibrations into his body, preventing him from falling asleep, according to police reports.
And that's probably what ELF stood for.
Right.
On
the law enforcement officials say they do not know whether he was referring to those vibrations in his carvings. The Navy has used extremely low frequencies in several capacities, including a joint effort with the Air Force on the high-frequency active oral research program, HARP.
Right.
HARP is often cited by conspiracy theorists.
Well, it exists.
Right. Anyway, but they think that's what he was referring to. Alexis's mother expressed sorrow Wednesday. I guess he had been estranged from his family for many years, the mother and sisters. She said, we have it? We have this one? Sorry. Catherine Alexis, his mother.
I don't know why he did what he did, and I'll never be able to ask him why. Aaron is now in a place where he can no longer do harm to anyone, and for that, I am glad.
New York neighbors said that he had been estranged from the family for many years. There's a mom and two sisters, and the sisters said they had not talked to him in years. So, and more stuff is coming out. We have all the latest on that. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, I guess that makes our naughty parts tingle.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Right. It's safe to give Jim my last bite of my burrito, but not a belly rub.
Nope. Thank
you. Too close to certain things.
Yeah.
It's not my belly. Lower.
Lower.
All right. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800.
Let's talk like a pirate day.
Yes, exactly. All right. Steven in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steve. Hello. Hello, Steven.
Hey, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, I was calling because I feel like there's a kind of a correlation between things. When the gun control issue was coming out, Obama, you know, came out on the news and said, hey, we have to do something fast. Polls are showing that everybody agrees there has to be stricter gun controls, right? And they pushed, he did some executive orders and all that kind of things that went on, you know, he pushed for it. So when the Affordable Care Act was about to written into law, being passed, the polls were showing that the majority of America was against it. So using that logic, why did he go through with Obamacare?
Because he felt it was the right thing to do.
So the justification in that response is that people don't know what they need. So I need to do it for them. Is that what you're trying to get at?
No, he's trying to solve a problem.
How are you conflating the gun and the Affordable Care
issue? No. The reason why I'm bringing it is because of the logic in the polls, that he follows the polls and says, we need to do gun control because that's what people want. So let's make stricter laws for gun control.
Right.
But
well, the difference is
when people didn't want Obamacare.
Right.
But they still pushed it through.
Okay. Yes,
okay. They did want. Then once they find out about it.
Right. Because they were. They're basically, we've given this just solid wall of lies from the right about it. So when people are asked, do you like Obamacare, they say no. Then when they ask all the things that are specifically in it, love it.
Yeah, we like that.
Love it.
Overwhelmingly so.
Right.
But the death panels, there are no death panels.
Right.
That's propaganda.
Yes. Are they against the myth that's been created by Republicans? Yes.
Yes,
and that's
right.
Why they're so terrified and so desperate right now, because when the actuality of affordable care kicks in, guess what it's going to offer?
That's right.
Affordable care, as it turns out.
It turns out the Republicans really only win by scaring people. That kind of sucks.
Oh, dear. All right. So Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel on the Navy Yard shooting yesterday.
There were some red flags. Of course there were. And we have picked them up? Why didn't we? How could we? All those questions need to be answered.
Wow. Did we miss some red flags? Mm-hmm. Yeah. This just gets... I mean, you know, it's like all of these stories we hear. Some of these guys, you just go... you looked at a picture of Jared Loughner, and you're like, oh, okay, someone gave that guy a gun? Okay. So we were talking about this is just a month before the massacre. He told Newport Police he was hearing voices, as we were just talking about. But, I mean, you know, it's a like whole parade of crazy that the voices were coming from the floor, the ceiling of his hotel room. It was some sort of microwave machine bombarding him with vibrations. He told the Newport cops, this is what one of the things we're looking into is why there was no communication. He told the Newport cops he was a naval contractor who often traveled and had gotten into an argument with somebody as he got on a plane in Virginia. He said he believed the three men were following him to keep him awake by sending vibrations through his body. This is all in the police report.
Mm-hmm.
He said he had not seen the trio, but they began speaking to him through the wall after he checked into a residence inn in Newport. He packed up and moved to a hotel at the Naval Station Newport. He told the cops only for the voice to begin speaking through the floor and the ceiling as well as the wall. He called police for help after he moved into the Marriott and initially told the responding officers the voices were coming through the floor. He then said the voices were coming from the ceiling. He told the cops about the microwave machine. The vibrations were keeping him awake. Dear God in heaven. By the way, the Lexus assured the officers he had no mental illness, right, and had never suffered any sort of mental episode. Based on naval base implications that the involved subject, Aaron Alexis, was hearing voices, I made contact with the on-duty Naval Station Police, the police chief from Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
The sergeant sent the Naval Police a copy of the officer's report. The Naval Police advised me they would follow up and determine if he is, in fact, a naval base contractor. So, clearly something fell through the cracks here. The article goes on to say a bit more checking might have shown that Alexis had been in the active Navy Reserve from 2007 to 10. He had apparently received an honorable discharge, though the Navy at one point had sought to make it less desirable general discharge due to a pattern of misbehavior that included an arrest for recklessly discharging a firearm. He had an earlier pre-enlistment arrest on a firearms charge, well, a decade-long history of psychiatric problems. I mean, it seems the Newport Police report alone should have been enough to raise red flags about a guy coming and going at a secure military facility, most particularly if there was even a hint that he'd been known to express his anger with firearms. So, and then the other thing is he did seek help at veterans. The firearms arrest and iffy Navy record did not prevent him from signing on as a computer technician with the Experts. That's the company he was working with. He worked for a while in Japan, left the firm, spent some time in Thailand, where he is said to have suffered a romantic disappointment. He returned to America, became an unpaid waiter in a Thai restaurant in exchange for shelter, carrying a pistol under his shirt while he worked when he went from table to table. That's not a little bit of a warning sign either.
Yeah.
He spent his off hours.
Was the romantic disappointment with a ladyboy, I wonder?
No. No, this is, I have another
article.
That would
be a disappointment.
I have an article right in front of me. Friends say Aaron Alexis was into Buddhism for the Thai women.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. We'll get to that.
That's kind of the wrong way to...
God, he spent his off hours either practicing Buddhism or playing hyper-violent computer games.
So it's my fault.
Right. Yes, because you voiced those.
At least.
He continued to tell people he suffered the effects of having survived New York on 9/11. He condemned the terrorists for having murdered so many innocents. He also condemned, ironically, Nadel Hassan, who murdered 13 fellow soldiers at a mass shooting at Fort Hood.
Hmm.
He then rejoined the Experts. He was on assignment in Newport when he called the police to report the voices in the microwave machine. He said to have sought help afterward at a Veterans Administration hospital in New England, likely in Rhode Island. So, yeah, I'd say a ton of red flags. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I like your look.
Excuse me?
I like the whole hippie thing. It really works for you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by Carbonite.
Even pirates use thank Carbonite. You. On Talk right. Like a Pirate
right.
Day.
Happy Talk Like a Pirate Day, everybody. Yes. Okay. So, oh, by the way, somebody called in earlier from Marjorie from Chicago.
Yeah.
And so we really need to hear today in the wake of this latest shooting tragedy is Antoinette Tough, who is that amazing school bookkeeper.
Yeah. In Georgia.
With pure, like, human heart and empathy, talked this last guy in Georgia out of shooting, and he gave up his gun willingly, and nobody was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally forgot about this because I am
drunk.
Old.
Oh.
I'm in the front office. Oh, he just went outside and started shooting. He said to tell them to back off. He doesn't want the kids. He wants the police. So back off. And what else, sir? He said he don't care if he dies. He don't have nothing to live for. And he said he's not mentally stable. Do you want me to try? I can help you. Want me to try? You want me to? You want to talk to them? Want me to talk to them and try to? Okay, well, let me talk to them and let's see if we can work it out so that you don't have to go away with them for a long time. You're going to be okay. I thought the same thing. You know, I tried to commit suicide last year after my husband left me. But look at me now. I'm still working and everything is okay. It's going to be all right, sweet. I just want you to know that I love you, though, okay? And I'm proud of you. That's a good thing that you've just given up and don't worry about it. We all go through something in life. I've never so scared all day in my life.
Beebe. But you did great.
Woo, Jesus.
You did great.
Oh, God.
Aww. She's on the top of my future wife list. All I got from that is that whatever husband that is a bastard person,
yeah.
And I hate him and his ass face. Who leaves a woman like that? Really?
And I'll tell you why I can't put up with you people.
Well,
because you're bastard people.
I think we know
people.
Why now.
Why?
No. Because of that voice.
Oh, well, if it was if it was Corky Sinclair, yes.
No,
yeah.
We have no information in that regard.
His wife made him a lovely pantsuit.
Aww. Yeah, this is the headline this morning. Friends say Aaron Alexis was into the Buddhism for the Thai women.
Yeah.
I don't know what was the first clue that he was not a Buddhist.
Yeah. The drinking
as they
and
generally
the,
don't drink and kill people.
Yeah.
The D.C. Navy Yard shooter was a fixture at the lone Buddhist temple in a small Fort Worth suburb. His friends say he was there just for the Thai women. His friend said he liked Thai women. He was very much into Asian women, but especially Thai women. They two first met during a Thai festival held at a Buddhist temple in nearby Keller, bonding over the fact that they each attended the affair in an attempt to pick up women. Oh, okay. He wasn't exactly Buddhist, he said. I joke with him about it. In spite of what he would say, I don't think he was too devout. He said he wanted to be a monk, but he wasn't the type to be into celibacy. We went to strip clubs together.
Oh, God.
Oh, that kind of Buddhist.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Alexis spent 45 days visiting the Southeast Asian country in March and April this year, spending the majority of his time there in massage parlors, once again as Buddhist, before meeting a native Thai woman that he would ask to both marry him and move back with him to the States. She declined. He just liked Asians, said his friend. Oh, boy. Okay.
All right.
Wowee. The president urged, how many times can we read that headline? Obama urges Congress to act in the wake of a mass shooting. He said he's done what he can to unilaterally address gun violence, and now Congress must do something about it. Because that was...
This Congress isn't going to do jack squat.
No. He said the fact that we do not have a firm enough background check system is something that makes us more vulnerable to these kind of mass shootings. And, you know, I do get concerned this becomes a ritual that we go through every 3 or 4 months where we have these horrific mass shootings. Everybody expresses understandable horror. We all embrace the families, and obviously our thoughts and prayers are with the families right now as they're absorbing this incredible loss. And yet we're not willing to take some basic actions that we know would make a difference. This is an example of what we've seen again and again on immigration reform, on gun control, on common sense budget. You have a majority of the American people and an even larger percentage of Republicans who are ready to move the country forward, and yet we keep on getting blocked. And Harry Reid reiterated, he said, I've got to have the votes first. We don't have the votes. I'd like to get them, but we don't have them right now. So in answer to the question, what are we going to do? Nothing, pretty much. Okay, let's go to, let's see, Jim in Vegas. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim. Hello, Jim.
Hello there, Mama.
Hello, go ahead.
Hey, it's so nice to wake up with you in a hangover in the morning.
Right? But, me too.
But anyhow, you guys are letting these people slide. Everybody here in Las Vegas that I know is looking forward to Obamacare. Just preventive maintenance. If you have high blood pressure, you have diabetes, you're overweight, you're a smoker, you go for free. No copay involved. People don't understand it. They don't know what they're talking about, and you let them slide.
Well, I mean, this is why, again, why this is so ridiculous and desperate what they're trying to do, because... That's why, because they're afraid that people are going to find out what it really is. I was mentioning this earlier to Carl Frisch, the Daily Beast, the Obamacare swindle.
Mm-hmm.
Healthcare reform isn't going anywhere, but that hasn't stopped Republicans from using it to raise money from gullible Tea Partiers who want it defunded. I mean, it's just sickening.
Yeah.
One answer is suggested by the National Review's Robert Costa in August is money. Tea Party organization, he writes, aren't worried about the establishment's ire. In fact, they welcome it. Business has boomed since the push to defund Obamacare caught on. Conservative activists are lighting up social media. Donations are pouring in, and email lists are growing. I mean, this is just about these things, these entities making money and knowing that they can't defund Obamacare. I mean, it's just... Heritage Action for America has raised over $327,000. That's a lot of herp-derp cash.
Yes.
The Senate Conservatives Funds also has a specific website that collects donations for Obamacare repeal. The National Liberty Federation, another Tea Party group, also fundraising on this. Of course, no matter how much money these groups collect, the Affordable Care Act is here to stay. The lawmakers and groups spearheading this movement, Tea Party voters aren't dedicated citizens as much as they are gullible customers, ripe targets for their brand's commercialized outrage. And Ted Cruz is the perfect example. This is from the Daily Beast. Ted Cruz,
senator from Alberta?
Yes. Ted... Ottawa, I thought. Okay. Ted Cruz may style himself as a leader, but the reality is he and his fellow travelers are just the latest in a long line of shameless grifters. And now they're all kicking him in the house, right? Because he's come out after he's been leading this charge. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, well, it's good for you. It's up to you over there in the house. We're not going to do anything. Like, he knew that.
Yeah.
He knew they weren't going to do anything. They can't do it. It's like, oh, it's just... We've gotten to just a circle of ridiculousness.
Well, it's just a cash machine for them anymore.
Senator Lindsey Graham joked on Tuesday that the inescapable fact that shutting down the government will not stop Obamacare was merely a technical detail that doesn't interest Republicans bent on a shutdown. That's a technical thing, Graham quipped when a HuffPo reporter asked him if he or anybody in the Senate had told backers of the shutdown that they can't actually block Obamacare by shutting down the government. And he said, but yeah, it's like 80% of it is unaffected. That seems to not resonate with anybody. Ted Cruz and Mike Lee have been rallying their conservative base, arguing the coming budget shutdown is the last chance to stop Obamacare. Grifter. Graham, who's been increasingly at tactical odds with his Tea Party compatriots, oh dear, he's getting teabagged and not enjoying it this time, said that he agrees with their ultimate aim. I want to defund Obamacare. I just don't want to cut off Social Security checks and stop paying the military. Defaulting on the debt, however, which House Republicans and Tea Party senators have also threatened, would have a better chance of halting Social Security checks as well as Medicare, Obamacare, and pretty much everything else. Glenn Beck's website, as I mentioned earlier, has also noted the anti-Obamacare strategy rests on a faulty premise. Yeah, when Glenn Beck is the one advising you that you've gone a little skosh bit too crazy, you have gone off the crazy cliff entirely.
Yeah.
Judy in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Judy.
Hello.
Hello.
Say?
Yeah, go ahead.
I wanted to say my husband just got the information like 3 or 4 days ago, and what they're doing is they're opening up to more companies to come in and give us prices. Before, we just had United Health and Blue Cross Blue Shield, whatever it's called in Florida, and now they're opening it up. I think there's one or two more companies that they've put in there, and they have everything from PPOs to, you know, it's the same as what we've been given in the past, and as far as reimbursement plans, it doesn't look like anything like bad or for the employees or anything like that. And Walgreens, being a health company in the past 2 years, they've made a big deal about getting their employees to quit smoking and no smoking on the property at all by the employees.
Mm-hmm.
And where my husband works is a big distribution center, and they're not allowed to go out the front gate to smoke.
Mm. Okay. Well, I
once
mean,
get
and,
into
right.
work, but,
and,
you know, I mean,
right. And
fine.
So we'll see what you know what all this means. That's why we had Jackie on to try and just you know, as we have new developments surrounding the healthcare debate, we'll check in with Jackie. You know, depending on her tanning schedule.
Sure.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Try to be paid, for goodness
okay.
sake.
All right.
Otherwise, you're going to have all idiots who are listening to your program.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Like right into Lake Havasu?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Right, yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie
Miller. Or the Thames.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The Tower Bridge.
No, there's also a bridge there called London Bridge.
Hmm.
All right. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Wow. Oh, that sad, poor little orange rabbit. John Boner. He looks like a sad, drunk little rabbit, doesn't he?
A rabbit?
I don't know why. He just does to me.
He looks like Jack Haley.
I imagine there were a few sounds coming from his office yesterday. John Boner pits Obamacare against shutdown, a choice dubbed anarchy by Harry Reid. He vowed Wednesday to push ahead with a bill to defund Obamacare or shut down the government, an effort Harry Reid panned as an absurd ploy inspired by Tea Party anarchists.
Mm-hmm.
With Congress facing a September 30th, ladies and gentlemen, that's coming right up.
Yeah, it is.
Deadline to figure out how to keep paying for the federal government. Boner said in the Capitol Hill news conference that defunding President Obama's health care reform was key part of that effort. Oh, boy. He said, we're going to continue to do everything we can to repeal the president's failed health care law. Oh, the failed law that hasn't started yet, but October 1st.
Right.
Oh, boy. This week, the House will pass the continuing resolution that locks the sequester savings in and defunds Obamacare. Oh, you're just a peach. Here he is, the incredibly orange John Boner.
This week, the House will pass a CR that locks the sequester savings in and defunds
savings.
Obamacare.
Yeah. Okay. Many mainstream Republicans have repeatedly slammed such an approach as stupid. And Boner himself has tried to avoid linking Obamacare to a potential government shutdown, but after a summer rick in which Tea Party leader, he got teabagged.
Sure.
So within an inch of his orange life. Pushing for the defunding bid, Boner failed to find a compromise. The Republican House leader has decided to push ahead. He said, we've got a lot of divergent opinions in the caucus.
Oh, look.
He just admitted that his caucus is completely uncontrollable.
Yes.
But suggested Tea Party demands were still leading the way. I was here in the Gingrich era. Oh, that's nice. Point to Newt Gingrich, who was the last guy that got the government shut down and then got run out of town on a rail.
I'm not sure that's a positive.
Positive reference. He had a little plaque. Oh, that's nice. That was in his office. It's a management model. Listen, learn, help, and lead. Oh, those are the things you think of when you think of Newt Gingrich. We listened to our colleagues over the last week. We have a plan that we're happy with. Right.
I think bloviate pretty
we're
much
going
covers
forward. Obama, of course, expected to veto any bill that defunds his signature domestic achievement.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Reid has insisted a measure would not pass the
mooch.
Senate. Guaranteeing. All right. The president on all this business. Here he is, President Obama. Yesterday.
You have never seen in the history of the United States the debt ceiling or the threat of not raising the debt ceiling being used to extort a president.
Yeah, everything's all kind of new these days, isn't it? Ben Bernanke, the Fed chairman on
the government shutdown, and perhaps even more so a failure to raise the debt limit, could have very serious consequences.
Just a skosh.
A little bit.
Just a skosh. And as the president, how many times does he have to point out the debt ceiling, it's not spending more, it's paying the bills that Congress has already, we've already spent it.
Yes.
We're spending. We're spending so much.
Everyone was talking about this. Jay Carney turning the tables on Jonathan Carl. Oh, you know, there's such a liberal media these days, as we hear so much about, of ABC News regarding the debt ceiling.
Be crystal clear, the president's position is you will not negotiate over the debt ceiling.
Correct.
how is that tenable? See, the White House is really willing to risk default.
The White House is not. Here's the thing.
You're threatening default.
No, no,
because
John,
because you're saying you won't even negotiate with the Republicans on this issue. How is that tenable?
John, who has the power to raise the debt ceiling? Who has the power to raise the debt ceiling?
Well, the Congress
to raise the debt ceiling.
Have put forward a plan. You may call it ridiculous, whatever you want to call it, but they have put forth a plan.
The Congress has the power to raise the debt ceiling.
We're unwilling to negotiate.
I like turning the tables here. I can't get a direct answer. But the Congress has the power to raise the debt ceiling.
I can. And I said they put forward a plan.
All they have to do is do what they have done hundreds of times before and raise the debt ceiling. What is the debt ceiling? The debt ceiling is not new spending. Raising the debt ceiling doesn't add a dime to the deficit. I think a lot of the rhetoric around it suggests that it has to do with new spending. But as everyone in this room understands, and everybody on Capitol Hill understands, and I believe a lot of Americans who are paying attention understand this is simply a vote to allow Congress to pay the bills that Congress has already incurred.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah, but what about Ernie. But the spending? What about the
This is a perfect example of what the quote unquote liberal, the mainstream media does. They take some ridiculous craziness of the Republican Party and present it as a logical alternative that the president is being just so intransigent about.
Well, why couldn't we just barter with chickens?
Oh my God.
Oh God. Save me.
Hold me. Jim in California. Hey Jim, welcome.
Okay, Seth, great programs as always.
Thank you.
What do we have to do to get control of the House back? How many seats do we need? Because this, I'm so fed up with hearing this Republican propaganda on behalf of these greedy insurance companies, stoning, Obamacare Act. And it is the best thing in the world. It eliminates pre-existing condition problems, and I think that's what's really behind all this propaganda. And also, it gets rid of that darn COBRA thing, which was ridiculous, and just so many good things. And yet, you don't hear that. All you hear is the negative stuff. But anyway, my main question was, how do we get control of the House back?
Well, it's not easy with not the easy. Gerrymandering, and this is why these last midterms were so important. And it's just, you know, this is why you can call me an Obama apologist every day if you want to, but this, because every issue that we all care about, we can't get done with this Congress. As the president was saying yesterday, nothing reasonable can get done. These people are not sane.
It's gerrymandering and also those optical scanners that are easily hacked. And so you don't know if your vote is really being counted the way you cast it.
Yeah, and look at the Colorado vote. What do you do when you're against, something that the 90% of the American people are for? Well, you figure out, how do we suppress the vote? How do we intimidate people? How do we gin up and turn out our crazy base?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, authorities say Alexis used a Remington shotgun to shoot a police officer and a security guard before taking one of their handguns and continuing his rampage. Yeah. Here's what happens in the gun debate, too. What happened to that talking point? What happened to the good guy with a gun?
With guns, yeah.
So if that doesn't apply, then they just skip over that, and now it's on to, it wasn't an AR-15. It's like, okay. I mean, literally, like, because that talking point doesn't work, it's like, all right, well, we never said that. That's two good guys with guns.
That's right.
Police officer and a security guard, both armed, at a military facility. I mean, anyway. Jim, hold me. Seriously. I'll give you a reach around. Okay. 58 minutes.
Lay on the floor and let her rub your belly. Come on.
Do it. Just do it.
I'll take pictures and tweet them. How about that?
Wow. Yippee-o. 58 minutes after the hour. Back with Bob Seska and more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and I feel good. that is why managing editor of the Daily Banter, Bob Seska, joins us this hour. One of my new, you know, who I want to date and kiss and marry.
Yeah.
Right?
I wonder what the lovely and talented Mrs. Seska says.
Who cares? 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's see. Marilyn in Ashland, Ohio. Steph, I'm growing older and more gray each day. Still no announcement on your show's return to TV. I'm 64. Hope you're back on TV before I am 65. Marilyn, you just shush. Gentle down. Coming soon, television announcement. Also, there'll be another sexy liberal announcement. Could it involve the West Coast sexy liberal, the long-awaited West Coast sexy liberal show? I think it could.
Huh.
I think it could. Everybody just...
Gentle down.
Exactly. And Chicopee. And furthermore, in a way.
In the wheel.
Right. Okay. Greg in Denver. So why is Congress listening to the polls on Syria but ignoring the overwhelming majority who want reasonable gun restrictions?
Yeah.
Why? Interesting.
Hmm.
Recent polling shows even Republicans like the health care reform if you don't call it Obamacare. Hopefully, Obama derangement syndrome will be covered under Obamacare. Aw, Greg, you're a helper. That would be nice. That would be nice.
Kenyan socialist Muslim.
Meet Skeeter.
He raised taxes 14 times.
As you can tell, Skeeter is afflicted with Obama derangement syndrome. America. Skeeter is unable to distinguish wild fantasy from reality. There is no cure, but there is hope.
He's arrogant.
For less than the price of 2 decaf triple lattes, you can sponsor someone with Obama derangement syndrome.
All he does is blame Bush for everything Bush did.
With your help, Skeeter and thousands like him can receive the equivalent of an 8th grade education.
Deaf family.
Learning basic civics, economics, science.
He had a big hip-hop barbecue.
And hygiene.
Community organizer, communist Hitler.
We might not be able to cure him.
They're not rich people, they're job creators.
But we might prevent Skeeter from running for a second congressional term.
Obama's in cahoots with Barbara Streisand and Al Gore, who has a big house.
Please help us erase Obama derangement syndrome.
Madrasa.
A half-baked thought is a terrible thing to waste.
Oh, Skeeter. Okie dokely. Yeah, this is really, and I was saying, and they're getting money from the Skeeters of the world because they are deliberately trying to peddle the myth that they can shut down Obamacare. As the president said, it's been the law of the land now for how many years, upheld by the Supreme Court. He said the guy who wanted to repeal it lost the election, and it's just...
So?
This is terrifying in the New York Times. The money behind the shutdown crisis, which we are. Representative Aaron Schock, that guy.
The guy with the abs.
Yes.
And the pink shirts.
Uh-huh. He's a conservative Republican, as you know, from Illinois.
Of course.
But not conservative enough for the hard-right activist group Club for Growth, which is seeking someone to run against him in next year's primary. The right now is spending more money attacking Republicans than the Democrats are to try to primary, because they're not... Really? In his crime? In 2011, he voted to increase the debt ceiling, and in 2012, he voted for a stopgap spending bill that prevented a government shutdown. In neither case did he demand the defunding of the healthcare reform, which is not possible. Okay. Huh. Help for Growth and other extremist groups consider a record like his unforgivable failure. They are raising and spending millions to make sure no Republican will take similar positions in the next few weeks when the fiscal year ends and the debt limit expires. If you're wondering why so many House Republicans seem to believe they can force President Obama to accept a defunding on health care reform by threatening a government shutdown or default, it's because these groups have promised to inflict political pain on any Republican official who doesn't go along, which is why... John Boehner has got to be literally doing the backstroke in Merlot in his office because they know that they can't do it. And it's Mr. Schock and 10 other Republican lawmakers considered suspiciously squishy by the Club for Growth were designated as rhinos, Republicans in name only, and the club has vowed to find primary opponents and support them with cash. It spent $18 million in the 2012 cycle. The group's all financed with secret and unlimited money, feed on chaos, and would like nothing better than to claim credit for pushing Washington into another crisis, winning an ideological victory far more important to them than the severe economic effects of a shutdown or worse, a default, which could shatter the credit markets. We are trapped in a car, and John Candy is driving, and we are going the wrong way.
You're going the wrong direction!
You're going the wrong way!
Terrifying.
What? You're going the wrong way!
He says we're going the wrong way!
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Terrific.
Thank you!
You're going in the wrong direction! You're going to kill somebody! You're going the wrong way!
That's what feels like where we are now, is at the long car horn. Oh, no. Oh, my God.
Pump for Growth doesn't sound very growthy.
So now the right-wing
can also be cancerous.
The right-wing gun nuts are going crazy over the fact that Starbucks has said, any chance you all could, leave your guns at home just because... Starbucks has asked U.S. customers to leave their guns at home after being dragged into an increasingly fractious debate over U.S. gun rights in the wake of multiple mass shootings. Starbucks' policy had been to default to local gun laws. This led gun rights advocates to hold National Starbucks Appreciation Day to thank the firm for its stance, pulling the company deeper into a fierce political fight. Locations for Starbucks Appreciation Day included Newtown, Connecticut.
Yeah.
Isn't that classy? Starbucks closed that shop before the event was scheduled to begin. The chief executive, Howard Schultz, yesterday said Starbucks Appreciation Day events disingenuously portray Starbucks as a champion of open carry. To be clear, we do not want these events in our stores. The coffee chain did, however, not. They didn't issue an outright ban on guns, saying this would potentially require their staff to confront armed customers, which makes sense. He said he hoped to give responsible gun owners a chance to respect its request. So. Yeah. And this has people going crazy. They're just asking, would you...
I said I wanted soy!
I did the story today, Jim, about a woman dropped her purse. She had a 22 in there she forgot about that was loaded. Oops. And shot her friend in the leg.
I remember that.
Yeah, that's going to be a little stressor on the friendship.
You've got your leg in the way of my gun.
Yeah.
Dumb
bitch. They're still friends. She's
going to
be like,
bitch.
Yeah, well, remember the time you shot me in the leg at Starbucks? Stupid.
Your stupid purse who shot her in the leg.
Right, right. Schultz had said more people had been bringing guns into Starbucks shops over the last 6 months, prompting confusion and dismay among some customers and employees. Yeah, you think? Oi. Okay. Mark in Louisiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Mark. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hello, hey, Mark. Yeah, this is Mark.
Hi, Mark.
I'm from Louisiana, but I wanted to make a comment as far as on the way. If there's so much good in the Affordable Care Act, why is it that the unions are against it now?
Thank you, Captain Talking Point. All right, there are some unions that have I forget which the I'm blanking on it, but there are some different unions have different plans, and there are some unions that are criticizing one certain aspect of it. Not all unions
not
are against affordable care.
Some unions have very good health plans
right.
And don't really need to
latch
onto it.
Right. Anyway, but that's the new talking point. You can hear that almost on any show. Somebody will call in and say, if it's so great, how come the unions hate it now? All of them. Every small business owner in America is going to have to fire everyone.
That's what Rush said.
God. Oh, how do you do? Hey, look, we have something to look forward to. Carol Paul, please and thank you. Mrs. Ron Paul says it's Rand Paul's mommy.
Uh-huh.
Thinks the prospect of a Paul bid for the White House in 2016 feels real. Awesome.
All right.
Speaking about... Oh, and then there's another, Paul's wife, Kelly, Rand Paul's wife, Kelly, please and thank you. Speaking about Hillary Clinton's possible run for the Democratic nomination in 2016, Paul's wife, Kelly, that's Mrs. Rand Paul.
Yes.
Was critical of former President Bill Clinton's relationship with Monica Lewinsky. Oh, she's nothing if not current. I would say his behavior was predatory, offensive to women, which would have what to do with Hillary
with her,
being president?
Yeah, first of all, she came on to him.
Hi.
And he shouldn't have taken the bait, but...
Hi, I'm Kelly Paul. I married a guy with that hair.
Okay. I don't know that you should discount Rand Paul, because he sometimes says some things that appeal to liberals
well.
I don't know that you can just discount him outright.
No.
I'd like to have a little sit-down, a little chat with the Paul women. There's a picture. Oh, look at how hilarious she thinks Rand Paul is. Look, he's, whatever he's saying, something about ending the Fed or
that's
something. Oh, honey, I love that.
That's Ron Paul.
That's Ron Paul.
Yeah.
Ron Paul's wife, Carol. Carol, please.
She's a sturdy woman.
She sounds just like...
Stop it.
What? She is. She looks like she could take you on.
Stop it.
What?
Okay, let's go to Deidre in Annapolis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hi, Deidre. Listen,
Deidre.
When that guy called in and said, why did President Obama pushed the Health Care Act through. Well, one of the reasons why was because the economy was tanking, and one of the biggest drains on our economy has been our health care.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that's why he did it, because he was handed a plate of no good economy, and he has done everything to solve it. And nobody wants to admit that the health care is so much better now, because, and that's what's bringing down the debt. Is less health care money going
out. Are you implying he didn't do it to destroy America, as Rush Limbaugh says?
Well, he did that as well, of course.
Okay. All right, 17 minutes after the hour.
He's doing a bad job of destroying America.
I don't know. Not very good at that. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my. How ruthlessly absurd.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
How bizarre. How bizarre. How bizarre.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it 21 minutes after the hour. Pardon me. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Hey, a little sliver of good news today.
What?
The Cooch. You know, Ken Cuccinelli?
Yes.
Running Virginia?
Yes.
Looks like Terry McAuliffe is going to take that.
Good.
Mm-hmm. He's the Greg gives us the news. He's the anti-sodomy guy. And he writes, Steph, is Cuccinelli's anti-sodomy campaign causing his poll numbers to dive and mean his chances of becoming the next GOP Virginia governor taking it in the rear? Oh, come on, Greg. That's an unfortunate way of putting that, but yes, that's correct.
Computer says yes.
Let's go to Andy in San Diego. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
My favorite person in the entire world. You guys are like an old sweater in the morning, I'll tell you.
Aw, thanks.
I just wanted to respond to Mr. Talking Point that was conflating Sandy Hook, the president responding to Sandy Hook and the call for gun control with the American Care Act. The president ran on the American Care Act. The Affordable Care Act as the centerpiece of this campaign twice,
yep.
And was elected with big majorities. So this crazy talking point that everybody hates Obamacare is that. It's a lie.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you. Oh, by the way, somebody tweeted, I'd say this is a positive sign. The Iranian President Rouhani tells NBC we will never develop nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
The Iranian president said he had the full authority to deal with the West and end the nuclear dispute. Meanwhile, President Obama told Rouhani in a exchange of letters the U.S. is ready to resolve its nuclear dispute with Iran in a way that allows Tehran to show it's not trying to build weapons. So, you know, well-known Southern belle, Lindsey Graham,
oh, my
right
God.
On time.
We must bomb immediately, sir. Bomb immediately. Oh, it's not the manly thing to do.
Listen, you go finish your mint julep on a fainting couch. We got this.
We got
The grown-ups got it.
Yeah, we don't need you.
Oh, okay. Meanwhile.
Bomb, 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 Iran.
Oh, this is the most random thing I've heard in ages. You said Dennis Kucinich interviewed Assad on Fox News?
Yes.
Oh,
and it aired yesterday.
Yes, I was told I could keep my nuclear stapler, my chemical weapons.
Oh, and he admitted that the cat's out of the bag now?
Yeah, we kind of had this.
That they had, that he has their chemical weapons?
I forgot. I had chemical weapons. Oops. Sleep.
He was thinking because he barely opens his mouth when he talks that no one heard him.
I told you that I had chemical weapons.
What?
I said I told you that I had chemical weapons.
Okay. The State Department spokeswoman.
We have seen no credible reporting, no credible evidence that the opposition has used chemical weapons in Syria, period.
I think even the Russians have dropped that ruse now.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Leon Panetta and Robert Gates.
Hmm.
Holy cow, what are they talking about?
All right.
When the President of the United States draws a red line, the credibility of this country is dependent on him backing up his word.
Oh,
when we draw a line and we give our word, damn it, we back it up.
Oh, so he's disappointed also
in
the lack of bombing of Syria?
Yeah.
Mm. He's disappointed in the stunning diplomatic resolution that as Bob Cheska, who we'll talk to in a minute, says, was achieved without so much as lobbing a water balloon at Syria. So disappointing. Really is. Everybody had their wargasm on. So sad. Okay, Robert Gates.
My view is that we would be throwing gasoline on an extremely complex fire in the Middle East, and we have no idea what will happen at that point. Haven't Iraq, Afghanistan, and Libya taught us something about the unintended consequences of military action once it's launched?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I think that's why it's probably good that we... have a diplomatic peace solution for now. I believe that is a bag of vipers. I was reading about the the opposition. Who can tell what's happening
really
exactly
can't.
In that bag of vipers?
Which is why I'm a little concerned that we are still sending stuff to them.
Because we don't really know who we're
dealing
with.
Oh, with John McCain, we're not sending enough stuff quick enough. Doesn't matter, because he says they're all good. Just bring it all over. Robert Gates again.
My bottom line is that I believe to blow a bunch of stuff up over a couple of days to underscore or validate a point or a principle is not a strategy.
That's not... Okay.
What a tool.
Oh, that's exactly why we got exactly the outcome the president wanted. And by the way, somebody was telling us... Oh, Jim Moran was telling us yesterday... Clearly, this has been in the works for a while with Secretary Clinton, Secretary Kerry, the president. And
it was clearly hatched at the summit in St. Petersburg.
Hatched before that, Robert Gates again.
Frankly, anything embraced by Vladimir Putin and Bashar Assad fills me with skepticism. Somebody asked the president the other day, do you trust Putin? My answer would be, are you kidding me?
Oh, of course not. But that's the nature of diplomatic solutions. There's something in it for him because he doesn't want Chechens getting a hold of chemical weapons either. Putin. That's not
former defense secretaries are usually for bombing. You know, he's not a statesman. He's not.
I didn't get to drop any bombs during my
tenure.
He came
from the Die Kill administration.
We have to strike now, sir. Annihilate. Kill. Kill. Kill.
Shut up. Shut up. Shut.
Steve in Pennsylvania. Hi, Steve. Welcome.
Hi, Steph. First, I'd like to be the official left wing amputee U.S. Marine.
Thank you for your service.
Well, thanks. And the other thing I'd like to do is take away the talking point that the right wing is constantly saying about the Affordable Care Act, and that the majority percentage of America is against it. The part that they include are the people that are actually wanted it to go further. They're not against the Affordable Care Act.
That's a very good point, Steve. They include a percentage of people like all of us in this room that would have liked single payer or at least a public option.
Yes.
Right. And they keep acting like the majority of America is against it, and that's one of their talking points, and it's far from the truth. It's not even close.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, people go, do you like Obamacare? No! Car! They normally say CARG.
Well, we're saying it doesn't go far enough. Shut up!
But then when you say, would you like to not be discriminated against for a pre-existing condition? And people say,
yes.
Would you like to have your kids stay on your insurance? To
Not
Obamacare.
Oh, that sounds good.
Obamacare bad.
It's Obama's idea.
Socialist.
Flarn.
Derek in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Derek.
Hi, guys. On the subject of talking points, I see you guys are throwing around that Republicans want to shut down the government, but it's sort of sad. Yeah. You don't
That's what they're threatening.
The issue. You can't keep printing and spending products made in China. We need to produce. We can't continue this.
What does that have to do with the debt ceiling? The debt ceiling has to do with the money the Congress has already spent.
Yeah. No, it has to do with
power.
Yes, it does.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. That was... somewhat rude. I'm just a little tired this morning.
Are you?
Mama's having a bad
life.
Right. Right back with Bob Cheska of the Daily Banter on the Stephanie Miller Show.
As funny as it is touching Gene Shalit, I stood up and cheered. Go,
Stephanie Miller.
Go, Joel Siegel.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Look at me. I'm a writer slut. Slut, look at me. Just yesterday.
Slut! She's a slut! Look at her, slut!
yesterday slobbering all over Michael Tomasky, and now it's like it never happened. Here he is, Bob Seska, my other favorite, who I want to date and kiss and marry, a managing editor of the Daily Banter. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Stephanie.
You are the one and only for me, Bob.
Thank you so much. I should warn you, I've been playing Grand Theft Auto all morning.
Oh, no!
So, you know, I could totally snap at any moment.
I know. Tragedy plus time, in Bob's case, a day. You, as usual, wrote some great stuff on all this. I mean, it really is amazing. We were talking about how these, you know, the gun nut talking points just, you know, the only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. That they forgot about because, of course, there were two good guys with guns that were both shot and had their weapons used.
Talking.
And you were saying the big thing is that there was a lot of misreporting, of course, about that he used an AR-15, which is the same gun used in Sandy Hook and in Aurora. And it turns out it wasn't. But as you've said, so what?
No. I mean, there were a variety of other things that illustrated the system as being utterly broken. Right. I mean, first of all, he did try to get an AR-15, but Virginia state law prevented him from getting one because if he's an out-of-state resident, you can't buy a semi-automatic weapon if you don't live in the state.
Right, and what Jim
State, buy all you want.
Right. What Jim just alluded to, he said, thank God. I mean, that's the one thing we should take from this. Even more people would likely be dead if he were able. So thank God for that small measure, right?
Well, that's right. But he still passed a background check.
Yeah.
A federal background check, which just illustrates, I mean, he not only passed the background check, but he was able to somehow get common access card access to this Navy facility. And I don't know how that happened. I don't know how he got security clearance other than the fact that they've got a private firm doing the vetting. And I think it's the same firm that vetted Edward Snowden, by the way. But, I mean, that system's obviously broken too. I mean, this guy's got a series of red flags in his background from mental health problems where at one point he was in a Holiday Inn in Rhode Island or something, and he heard voices coming from the wall and called the police and said that they were, sending messages to him trying to keep him awake. And then some post-traumatic stress is in there, plus some gun incidents in the past, plus his discharge from the Navy because of misconduct.
Right.
I mean, these are all things that ought to be gathered together in some sort of database, for the background checks and preventing guys like this from getting firearms. But it's just not happening. And every time we try to fix the system, it gets blocked by the NRA.
Well, and as you say, the absence of an AR-15 doesn't mitigate the fact that this was yet another gun massacre that could have been prevented. I mean, you know, they'll take any little thing, I was saying, Bob, that, like, didn't apply in this massacre and go, well, see, this wouldn't work, as an excuse to not do anything about any of the things that might have worked in this one or that one. And at this point, we're having one practically weekly, right?
Oh, yeah. And my concern is, and Gavin Newsom actually wrote a great piece in the Huffington Post today about how we're basically desensitized to this now. I mean, if 20 dead children and school teachers couldn't do it, if actually a member of Congress being shot in the head couldn't do it, I don't know what will. I don't know what will motivate Congress. I don't know. Even the American people. I don't know what's going to motivate anybody to get behind new gun legislation. We are behind it, but I feel like just monitoring my Twitter feed and Facebook and the blogs and everything, I'm just getting the sense that everyone's just, there's nothing we can do about it. It's kind of like whenever I post something about the climate crisis, it's always met with, there's nothing we can do. I don't want to talk about this. It's so futile. Right. And it's getting to be the same way with gun control, and that should be very...
Right.
Yeah, it should be very worrisome.
Yeah, I mean, part of what you point out, Bob, as we were mentioning earlier today, too, is just that this first of all, we just don't even have a media that does their job. As you were talking about the Manchin-Toomey Amendment that specifically in the bill emphasized that banning a national gun registry, well, the lie that they were able to put out there that made people able to vote down what 90% of Americans want is that, it's going to create a gun registry. It's,
There was a huge conspiracy theory back in April where this Manchin-Toomey Amendment would have created a national gun registry, and it was all over the place. It was, all the gun lobbyists were doing it. It was in the Daily Caller. Obviously, guys like Alex Jones were talking about it. And it turned out that this amendment, which would have strengthened the background check system, specifically said this does not create a national gun registry. And there is a law
on a national gun registry.
Right.
I mean, it's astonishing that they can get away with this sort of thing. But you know what? the gun lobby, the NRA, knows how to play this script like a fiddle. They know exactly when people are going to get bored with the topic. They know exactly what kind of bumper sticker slogans actually work with people, and they just keep doing the same thing over and over again. I mean, they're nothing if not tenacious.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but, you know, it goes to what everybody's talking about this morning about Chuck Todd saying, oh, it's not our job to explain Obamacare. Because they're perfectly willing to have people on to debate the death panels when there is no such thing, that we should at least agree on what's true
yeah.
or not before we have a debate about something, you know?
Yeah, these guys are utter wimps. I mean, this is an ongoing story where the traditional press just refuses to, you know, take a stand on anything. I mean, what they forget is that journalists aren't supposed to be popular. Journalists are supposed to be quite unpopular. They're supposed to just do their job and report the truth and let the chips fall where they may.
Look how they excoriated Candy Crowley for having the audacity to point the truth to Mitt Romney in a presidential debate. You know,
that's right.
That either the president did or did not say something, and now suddenly she's biased, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, for 40 years they've been actively, you know, beating this drum. And convincing the journalistic community, convincing the mainstream press that any indication of any liberal bias is evil. I always like the Stephen Colbert quote, that reality has a well-known liberal bias.
Ah, he stole that from me. He did. He stole the Yodel the Turtle thing from me and the, liberal bias thing.
Oh my God!
They steal from us all the time.
Bob, you know,
well, now I should revise them. The famous Jim Ward.
There you go. Thank you. Amend that. Well, you know, part of the problem, as you point out, Bob, is that, you know, the Congress is populated by the likes of Representative Steve Stockman, the Republican of Texas, who 6 hours after the massacre tweeted, "Remember to keep praying for those affected by both the Navy Yard shootings and the Colorado floods." You pointing out the irony that he's a vocal climate crisis denier as well as one of the NRA's most valuable allies inside the House of Representatives, and also one of the only internet trolls currently serving as a member of Congress. You helped
him. Yeah, read his Twitter feed. It is. I mean, if you're familiar with internet trolls on Twitter, this guy is the perfect representation for those people, because that's all he does all day long. I don't know if he does any actual legislating, which thank God maybe he doesn't. But I mean, that's all he does is troll liberals all day long on Twitter. And you know, for example, he's got that bumper sticker that he's circulating around as part of his reelection campaign, in which he says that if more babies had guns, there'd be fewer abortions.
Right. We referred to that yesterday.
Shoot yourself out of the womb.
You could shoot your way out of the womb because of all your musculoskeletal control that you have at that. Okay. And also, you said he held not one but two weekly contest giveaways this year in which a Bushmaster AR-15 was the grand prize.
Yeah. Well, that's a great example of him trolling. I mean, that was, you know, there are wide varieties of firearms that he could have used. He could have used any firearm, but he chose the AR-15 because it was, you know, rightfully so, demonized after Aurora, demonized after Sandy Hook. And so he chose this thing to kind of antagonize gun control people.
Well, as Jim Ward would also say, that to point out the issue of how many six-year-olds remain unshot, I guess, is the,
Yeah. I mean, and the you know, going back to that bumper sticker, the irony is that for some reason, over the last, I don't know, 6-7 months, not a day goes by when we don't see a news story come across the wire saying that, you know, some child, like a 4-year-old, got his hands on a gun and shot his sister. Or shot his caregiver, or shot his parent. In some cases, there was one case where the child actually used a gun that's designed for a child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A Hello Kitty.
No, we saw a Hello Kitty assault rifle on the internet yesterday. I mean, and you think it's a joke, and it's not. Bob,
babies do have guns.
Oh, God. Bob, before you go, whisper sweet nothings about Syria in my ear, because I need you to get through. I literally, this is another thing about the main, you know, quote-unquote liberal media. You know, your headline says that all the goalposts for success was the disarmament of Syria's WMD, so the U.S. won a historic victory. But it just becomes this, as you talk about this whole, oh, Putin's the big winner, oh, Assad's the big winner. Really? You say whether the United States won depends entirely upon your definition of victory. Personally, I define victory in terms of the stated goal of the administration's actions of the past 3 weeks. And
yeah,
I clearly, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's his mighty pectorals, but I mean, he's got himself in the United States. I mean, there are a lot of Putin fanboys that I was completely unaware of. And, yeah, I mean, what's frustrating about all of this is the goalpost initially from the very beginning was get rid of the chemical weapons. All right. We have, I mean, they haven't literally destroyed the chemical weapons yet, but we've got an accord in place right now that will get rid of the chemical weapons, and not so much as a water balloon has been fired in the direction of Assad. So I think that's a huge victory.
And as you say, a historic event that future generations will read about in the history books. I mean, and I love how you make this, you were talking about Meet the Press, Goldberg accused the administration of partnering with Assad. You say, I suppose the Kennedy administration partnered with the Soviets and Castro to remove the medium and long-range ballistic missiles from Cuba. Clearly, any peaceful diplomatic solution achieves precisely the U.S. goal. That achieves precisely the U.S. goal from the outset would be seen as partnering with somebody. I mean, it's so absurd. It's like
accused Kennedy being soft on communism.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Everything old is new again, and this is being. Being levied in the direction of the president now, where he just, you know what, the guy can't win. No matter what happens, he's never going to win. I mean, there were people saying, we shouldn't be doing any bomb. We should not attack Syria. There should be some other way to get the chemical weapons. There needs to be a peaceful way to do this. And then suddenly there's a peaceful way to do it. As, they're just lucky.
Lucky little stumble bum, right? Bob Woodward said that. He's like, more Obama dumb luck, I guess. I guess so, Bob. I mean, as you say, you can spin away. It doesn't change the fact the administration's saber-rattling led to an 11th-hour deal, which will lead to the sole goalpost, the disarmament of Syria's massive stockpiles of chemical weapons. The chain of events is undeniable. And as other people have pointed out, this clearly started with Secretary Clinton, Secretary Kerry, with the president at the G20. I mean, it just to really think that this could happen by accident...
Well, clearly Obama's doing too much, not enough.
Right.
Yeah, right. Part of the thing is the expediency of the internet and social media, because now we're seeing the sausage making close up. And diplomacy is really, really messy. Nothing ever goes exactly to plan. You have to be constantly shifting and moving and changing with the differing landscape. And that's kind of what happened here. It just looks messier. Because we're seeing
that kind of flexibility is horrible. You really, once you decide something like the decider George Bush, you ought to just go ahead and bomb a country.
Yeah, so much cleaner, decisive.
Whether the UN tells you they don't have weapons or not, because that makes you that gives you whatever. Right? I mean, this is just, it just cracks me up. You go, this is almost the mirror opposite of Iraq in its outcome, and it still is perceived as some sort of failure on the part of the OPA. It's stunning.
It's just not butch enough for Lindsey Graham.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I mean, this happens. I mean, it happens almost every time. You know, there's nothing that this guy does that can ever be deemed successful, no matter what it is or who benefits. It's always going to be some sort of, it wasn't really him. It was a member of Congress. It was Nancy Pelosi. Oh, no, it was the Republicans caving in. Oh, it was the media helping him. Nah, sometimes the president actually wins this stuff. And I think this was a case in which the stated outcome of disarmament has been achieved.
I love you, Bob Cheska. I've forgotten who that Michael Tomosky even is.
I love you too, Stephanie.
All right, Bob. Talk to you next week.
Take care.
Bye, honey.
Although, thinking about if you were going to shoot your way out of the womb, you'd want a Bushmaster, I think.
Right. Yeah. Oh, Jim.
What?
Lord, you were planning that?
You're a scamp.
It's a sneak attack. 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Right back.
Ooh, what a lovely program.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Buying a stairway to heaven.
What are stairways to heaven going for these days?
It's expensive. 52 minutes after the hour.
Can you get an escalator?
100 step. 1-2.
A hover round?
A hover round? Chase your wife at the Piggly Wiggly? Okay. By the way, who sent us... They used... What's the girl? Look at this body. What's that song?
Oh, LMFO. LMFO.
Right. LMFO. I work out, girl. Look at this body.
Yeah.
I don't know what the name of the song is.
It's called
something.
I'm sexy and
I'm sexy and I know it. And then they put the people at Walmart to that.
Yeah.
It's something. Okay. Gary in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Gary.
Hi. I just wanted to say, if we didn't have guns, we would still be talking British. We'd be still part of the British.
Talking British?
Don't attack
our guns.
Yeah,
we kind of are.
The British spoke English.
Yeah, we do still speak English, you know.
British.
That's a separate language, right, from English?
Right. Well, typically that'd be
we would still be part of the British Empire if we didn't have guns.
Right.
Thank you.
Oh, no, thank you. All right. No, thank you, sir. Thanks for your time.
Yes, as part of a well-regulated militia.
That's
because
right.
We didn't have a standing army at the time.
Which is exactly what the Second Amendment spells
out.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm
very
a little winded by the herp derpness of America this morning.
We've been getting a lot of derpy people.
Make them a bigger British!
Your guns may be talking shepherd's pie.
There's been a lot of derp on this show today.
We'd be playing soccer.
I
want to
go
we
home
are.
And just weep silently for the rest of the day for America. All right, let's do something that we can all agree on. That is, clowns are creepy.
Clowns are creepy, especially this one.
Oh, and this one speaks British. This is stories out of Northampton, England.
Yes.
I can't understand you. You're speaking British.
A balloon-carrying clown accused of terrorizing residents says on his Facebook page he is not carrying a knife and is not scaring residents, as has been reported.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Police say clown sightings began on Friday the 13th. Oh.
Clown sightings.
And in one incident, a woman reported that two clowns showed up at her doorstep and asked to paint her windowsills, even though they had no painting equipment.
They just stand there with the balloons, standing there still, just like Pennywise in that
Right. It. Others have reported to police that the clown looks like Pennywise from Stephen King's and really doesn't do anything aside from staring and waving, which is even worse.
That's evil. That is pure evil.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Clowns.
There might be a reason to have a gun in that case. Right? Thank you.
But it's British. They speak British.
Take out the balloons first.
Stephanie! Oh, dear God. Heaven, really. Okay. You know what else is frightening to some people? Eagles music.
You're right. Absolutely right. Not a fan. Never have been a fan of the Eagles. I feel this woman's pain.
This woman did not have a peaceful, easy feeling. I'm telling you that right now. Police in South Carolina arrested a woman Monday night. She allegedly stabbed her roommate multiple times for refusing to stop playing music by the classic rock band, the Eagles.
Hmm.
According to the report, she became irritated with her 64-year-old roommate, who was her one-time boyfriend. And she, after he rejected her... After he rejected her pleas to turn off the Eagles, and he told her to shut up.
Just like that.
Shut up. I don't know why I just pictured it
was
like that.
Was it a particular song? Got her riled up.
She then entered the kitchen and grabbed a serrated knife, which she apparently used to stab her roommate.
Desperado would make anybody stabby.
Why won't you
stabby.
Senses. Eagles makes me stabby. Roommate and his brother managed to wrestle the knife away from her, but she quickly retrieved another one from the kitchen.
Oh.
All three, you'll be shocked to know, were intoxicated.
Oh, really? No, you don't say.
Third Eagles again. Shut up.
Hey.
Give me another beer.
Evil. They'd make me stabby, too. Seriously.
Eagles does not need to make anybody stabby. All right, let's get back to the real issues facing America. Twerking. Still twerking.
Yes.
Cher. Woo! Yeah! Has ripped Miley Cyrus's twerking. Oh, and in addition, her physique and oral hygiene. Well, hello. Don't get Cher riled up these days. She said the performance was so bad. She said, I'm not old-fashioned. She could have come out naked. If she just rocked the house, I would have said, yeah, go, girl. It wasn't done well. She can't dance. Her body looked like hell. The song wasn't great. One cheek was hanging out. And chick, don't stick out your tongue if it's coated. Wow, that's what you said. She looked like she had thrush.
Yeah.
Cher. And she said the performance seemed ill-conceived. Yeah. If you're going to go that far, then think about it before you do it. That's what a friend of mine said. They said it was just bad. It wasn't that it was, you know, necessarily
but
offensive.
Cher has since come out and said that she probably went a little too far in her criticism. She apologizes. She knows Miley's an artist and let her do her own thing.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. At least she wasn't wearing a patch.
Cher said she should learn how to keep her own mouth shut.
Okay. She's been listening to Thrush Limbaugh.
Hey! There. Oh, we gotta go. I gotta go contemplate that guy and whether we would still be speaking British if it weren't for the guns. Okay. That's it for us today. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.